Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and Merry Christmas to you. I've designed this podcast to come out today on Christmas Day because I think it's really appropriate. Today's Christmas, and it's all about incarnation, and that is the subject of our KevCast today. What is incarnation? Now, the Christian celebration of Christmas is all about incarnation. And if you're not familiar with what that term means, it means in the flesh, incarnate. You know, it's the notion that the non-physical reality manifests itself into the material world. Christians talk about God coming to the world enrobed in humanity. And this is depicted in the story of Jesus. So the core center of incarnation within the Christian tradition is that God is both God and man together. Non-physical reality, God, joining physical materiality, humanity. Okay? So that's the idea of incarnation. Now, you can enter the story of pregnant virgins, hotels without capacity, a magical star that, you know, that brings people all over from the East and all over the world to a king who is being birthed in a very humble place, the feeding trough of a donkey or an animal. So that is the story in which this incarnation takes place, the Christmas story. It's the most famous story about incarnation that there is, but it's not the only incarnation story. You see, the idea has not only appeared in other faith systems. That's right. God coming in the flesh is not unique to Christianity, but it is ingrained in every atom of the universe. And that is what this podcast is all about. My goal is to widen our perspective of what the incarnation is. Now, churches all across the country are going to take time and focus on proving that the historical accuracy of the nativity story is everything that you can depend on scientifically. For them, the truer that this 2,000-year-old plus story is, the more likely a modern person is to believe it. So I see where they're coming from. I understand. You know, you want to get the geology, you want to kind of do things to see that it's true. But I'm not convinced any longer that that's the best path. And for me, the issue is not really historical accuracy. You see, it doesn't really matter to me how many scholars agree. It doesn't matter if we can trace the star back through astrological data. It doesn't matter to me. While the modern mind might actually find it interesting to learn about the ancient history through archaeology that validates the biblical texts, these all fail to relocate incarnation into the soul of a person. You see, putting all that data and information in there is good. And yes, it might actually raise someone's credibility of the Bible, which is in question so often in our world, to see some of these things being proven. But that's not really what incarnation is about. You see, incarnation must be experienced. It's not studied. It's not an argument to win. Incarnation is not a position to defend. It is an experience, or else incarnation is powerless. Does that make sense? Incarnation, God showing up in the flesh, is not just a story to prove. It's an experience to have. there's a huge difference there. So the encouragement that I would like to offer modern Christianity is to no longer truncate the incarnation into a small, particular container of the historical story of 2,000 years ago. You see, no one living today has ever met Jesus in person. You didn't look into his eyes any more than I have. You haven't shaken his hand. You haven't picked fish out of his beard. You haven't smelled his breath. You and I, if you're alive in this day and age, have not met Jesus. The only experience, the only possible experience that any modern person has ever had with Jesus has been a virtual experience, if you will. Right? The only Jesus people know today, the only Christ they know is the incarnate experience, not the mental agreement to historical data. So if you're saying in your mind, I do know Jesus, then you know it because you've had an incarnation experience. You don't know it because you studied the Bible or you learned something about, you know, Jewish history. This is where it really starts to get interesting. You see, because the church has almost exclusively focused on one particular expression of the incarnation. It conveniently divides people up into two categories based upon their mental attestation of the historical story. So unfortunately, because the incarnation has been truncated in such a way, it has been shortened, it has been seen in such a very narrow, particular way, the church does not recognize nor validate any other incarnation experience. And this greatly limits the world's ability to see incarnation in all of its diverse expressions. And quite frankly, I believe the church is responsible for teaching people as light bearers what the incarnation looks like. And if they only say it looks like this one thing over here, then the world is missing out on incarnation. And that is too sad for me. And that's why I want to have this podcast. I want to share with you some things. For example, when we say that the incarnation of God in the flesh, we're not just talking about the particular story of Jesus being both man and God. We are also saying in a very general sense, a wide sense, a universal sense, that non-physical reality has made its way into the material world. Now, if you're a scientific person and you see yourself as an empiricist, then in your worldview, there's no such thing as non-physical reality. Although you may make a claim to that, that's actually not real. You can't really live that way. You can't live as though the only realities there are is matter and motion. I can prove it to you that you don't actually live according to that belief, even though you may hold tenaciously to it. You don't live by it. The reality is that there are such things as non-physical reality, right? You wouldn't argue using something other than logic. And logic, how heavy is it? How big is it? How wide is it? You use mathematics. What is the circumference of the number three? You see, you can't use empirical data, measurements, in order to make sense of all that is real in our world. Mathematics is heavily based upon empirical data. Empirical data is impossible without mathematics, but mathematics is not based upon empirical data. It's based upon non-physical reality. And so non-physical reality exists, right? No matter how you look at it, it exists. And non-physical reality making its way into the physical world can be seen in mathematics. That's a great expression. So incarnation is not a contest. I think that's kind of what the church wants it to be. A contest about a particular expression of incarnation. But incarnation is not a contest between the particular and the universal. It's the marriage of the two. Incarnation is when the universal and the particular come together, when the non-physical reality becomes and shows up as physical reality. That's the marriage of it. So incarnation is something more, something beautiful. And if we can grasp this, then the world dramatically changes right before our eyes. And our incarnation experiences potentiate radically. I mean, this means that the experience of God in the flesh emerges from behind all things. All those things you used to think were just emotions or ideas or just whatever, you take them for granted because they happen so many times in the course of a day or in a week or in a month that you just think it's you. You just think it's normal life. You don't even attribute it to anything special. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the idea for a new business, a new service, a new product. Where did that idea come from? It just sprang into your head. And it was an idea, a non-physical reality emerged. Was it just biochemistry that produces that? Is it more biochemistry that produces the motivation to make a plan and get it done and have it go out into the world, and now you have a product or a service that touches people, helps people, builds people? Is it just biochemistry? You see what I'm saying? That inspiration to overcome the challenges and the struggles that you faced? That thing that just made you keep going no matter what? What was that? What was that? The impetus to connect or reconnect with others? You know when you need to pick up the phone and make that phone call because it's been too long? What about that elation that comes from that song? You know, at just the right time, and you just, it felt so right. And there's some moment of clarity. What about that clarity that emerged during a difficult time? Or when you woke up and the sun warmed more than your body? It touched something. It just gave you a sense of well-being that was indescribable. That sense that nothing is missing from this moment. You remember the last time you felt that way? That this moment is complete and satisfying in and of itself. Nothing's missing. You see, when the love of two people comes together and begets life, another life, that's non-physical reality becoming material. That's incarnation. All of these expressions and experiences are incarnation. Those are God coming to us in the flesh. Any movement, in fact, between the abstract and the concrete, or the non-physical and the material, is an expression of incarnation. Incarnation, then, is God coming to us or through us in and as our very life. Everything in your life, then, is incarnation. You can't escape it. If you're a scientist, you can't get away from this idea that there's something behind the something. That thing that's powering the atom might be a subatomic particle, but that thing that's powering the subatomic particle is powering it. There's this non-physical reality. Quantum entanglement is a reality of non-physical entering the physical. So every atom of the world is incarnation. This is amazing. This means that all humanity experiences the incarnation, not just Christians. Now, I know for some of my devout audience, that'll kind of bristle with you at first, and I get that. So let me add a biblical justification for those of you who see this in a particular lens, okay? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 4 that he doesn't want us to be ignorant. And he goes on to tell that his Jewish listeners, and he himself was a Jew, that the thing that sustained their ancestors in the desert, which was that rock that poured out water in the desert, that thing was Christ. That thing was God in the flesh. The water coming out of a rock, water was God. Water was the Christ. Interesting. So Paul kind of got at this, didn't he? He was getting at this very idea. And there's another way to look at it. Think about Abraham. Now, he's said to be a man of tremendous faith. I mean, Hebrews 11 goes on and on about him when they're going through the rock stars of faith. You know, and that's just because he believed God. The promise, or the non-physical, became his son Isaac, the material. Abraham was not a Christian, by the way. You see, he existed long before Judaism had any of their laws, and Judaism wasn't even formed. You might even be able to argue that Abraham wasn't a Jew, right? And yet, the incarnation came to him. He was just a man with faith, just like so many today. He didn't subscribe to a particular religion. He might have even been kind of pagan. When you think about it, this force telling him to kill his son on the altar, maybe he got that confused a little bit. Nonetheless, the force stopped him from killing him. But you got to wonder, the incarnation was there, and it was in the water that flew out to the Israelites, and it's in that, then it's amazing. How is it not in everything? So the incarnation was coming then. It was experienced over and over throughout human history. It's seen over and over within sacred text. It was typified in Jesus, and it continues every moment, everywhere, every day. Incarnation is constant. It's a constant outpouring of God into the world, constantly, nonstop, generously, benevolently. It's amazing. And this should not be surprising, and sadly it is. We are all made in the likeness of God, we are told. We are all breathed in by God, as it says in Genesis 2:7. You know, the Spirit of God animates us. And if that's the case, then incarnation is all that we are. All that is incarnation. Whether you're looking at the material world, whether you're looking at humanity, whether you're looking at it at a societal level, it is all God manifesting himself, herself in the world. So for my Christian brothers and sisters, I hope you will take the particular incarnation story that you love so much and that I love so much, and begin to widen your lens so that you can see just how many ways this story has been told in the universal sense. By doing so, you will begin to recognize and validate the work of God in others and in the world. And for my brothers and sisters who do not share the Christian faith as it's typically defined, I hope you'll appreciate the work of incarnation in your own lives and in the world, and that you will take seriously the particular story of Jesus. You see, by doing so, you will also begin to recognize and validate the work of God in others and in the world. Now that is something we should all want for Christmas. May you take the incarnation of Christmas and start to see it in every moment of your life. Have a great day, and Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.